And we'll begin reading in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Our lesson today will be about Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things listed from 24 on down, they're going to be provided for you. Righteousness, the quality or state of being righteous, righteous conduct, the quality or state of being right or rightful, righteous, morally upright, without guilt, in accordance with virtue or morality. But this is the definition we will be working with today. The state of being acceptable to God. The state of being acceptable to God. That's where our lesson will be. And I'm going to use a couple of illustrations. And I've asked some gentlemen to pass out some notes for me. And I will ask that as they're passing those out, that you flip it over and do not read it. Do not read it. So gentlemen, if you'll pass those out for me. What's my volume like in the back? Can you guys hear me okay? You guys are really good because the mic's hanging down here by my pocket. It's a good mic. Remember, don't read it. I'm a former classroom teacher. I know the temptation's there for you to flip it over and go ahead and get started, but keep it covered. How's that? If you don't have one, raise your hand real quick. Keep them turned down. Keep them turned down. Don't look at them. Seeking righteousness. Seeking righteousness. How many of you have ever sought mushrooms before? Have you ever been mushroom hunting? Been mushroom hunting, kind of maybe give me a little nod. Yeah, if you've been mushroom hunting, I love the mushroom. I love the spring of the year. Love to go out. I love to hunt mushrooms. Love to not only hunt them, love to find them. Not only love to hunt them, not only love to find them, but I love to eat them. That's the goal for me. But, and if this has never really happened to you, don't share with that to me after the lesson, because then I'll feel a little weird. But if you've spent some time, if you've spent some time out mushroom hunting, you're out there and you're searching for mushrooms, you're looking at certain trees, you're trying to find the mushrooms, trying to discern a mushroom from a mayapple, trying to discern mushrooms from bark. You get all excited, you think you've eyeballed one from across the way, and no, it's not a mushroom. Have you ever had this happen to you? After a day of seeking mushrooms, you go home that night. You go home that night, and you go to bed. Remember, if this doesn't happen to you, don't tell me, because I'm weird this way just myself. But you go home that night, and you close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, do you see mushrooms? Oh, I'm glad. There's some people nodding out there. Thank you. I'm glad that you're nodding. Why is it that we see mushrooms when we close our eyes after a day of searching for them? And I'm no brain expert. You know, I can't tell you anything about the left side of the brain or the right side of the brain or how those synapses pop and send messages. But I got a theory. My theory is I see those mushrooms when I put my head down on my pillow at night because that's where my focus has been. That's what I have been searching all day, discerning all day. Don't be turning those papers over yet. Searching for mushrooms in the woods has a focus, has a point, and the point is that at some point, if I find some mushrooms, I'm going to eat those mushrooms. So there is a goal, and I can see that goal when I go out and when I search all day in the woods. I'm going to do another illustration before we get to a point. You have those pieces of paper in your hand. Don't flip them over yet. Saw a couple people on the back row peeking. I'm going to ask you to flip those over here in a second. And when you flip that over, I want you to read it. And when you read it, I want you to count the number of F's that are in this passage that you have in front of you. You're going to flip it over. You're going to read it, and as you read it, count the F's. Please do that now. Flip it over, read it, count the F's. Okay, how'd you do? How'd you do? Did you find three F's? Find three? Did you find four? Did you find five? How about six? Six, good. Is it seven? A couple sevens? Eights? A couple eights? A couple nines? Any nines? Do you have any tens out there? And we're all over the place. Let's count them again. Let's do it again. We've had anywhere from 3 to 10. All right. Okay. Now then. We'll start with 6. Everybody find 6. 7. 8. 9. Don't find 10 because there's not 10. There's 9 F's in that passage. 9 F's in that passage. If you didn't find 9, you might check out the word of. You might check out that word of. Because you may have just
went over that word of. You were seeking F's, weren't you? You were seeking F's. You were diligently seeking F's. However, your mind would not let you find all nine F's. Why? Well, from probably about this age on up, as you were working in elementary school, working on reading at home, your mind has been processing the word of as seeing it not O-F, but as O-V. Your mind sees that as a V. I've done this to countless groups. You know what groups see all F's right off the bat? Two groups. One, if English is not your first language, they do a pretty good job of finding the F's. The second group who finds the F's are those that can't hardly read yet. Their computer has not been fully programmed. Well, maybe you don't seek mushrooms. Maybe you seek sales in department stores. I don't know. But maybe you don't seek mushrooms. And maybe you could care less about finding the F's. However, my hope is that when our time is done, you are considering seeking righteousness. And the goal is to give you some ways in which to do that. If you're in Matthew still, flip back to Matthew 5, 6. When we were talking about food and water in the class this morning, I was a little worried that we were going to get in to hit on my lesson here. But Matthew 5, 6 says this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So I just pointed out that I'm no brain expert. Haven't done much in the way of brain research. I do know this about the brain. As we get older, our brain creates what we could call superhighways. That's how we become experts in certain items, certain things that we do. We create superhighways so that that information can pop around and go to where it needs to go. It's also why we start forgetting things, because our brain thinks we don't need that information. But your brain, I don't know what you've ever thought about your brain, but your brain is actually pretty pliable. I don't know if you thought it was like, you know, hard as a rock. Maybe my wife for sometimes thinks that mine is hard-headed. But it's pretty pliable. And the good news is that you can reroute those superhighways. And whatever you are currently seeking after today, you can start rerouting that to seek righteousness. Why do we see the mushrooms when we close our eyes? We see them because of our focus. And what do we do when we see that mushroom? Somebody finds one in the woods. Do you ever ask this? Somebody finds one over there. Hey, let me see that mushroom. Let me see that mushroom so I can remember what it looks like. So I can start searching for that mushroom. We start concentrating on it. Why do we see the F's? Why do we not see the F's? Our minds have been trained not to see them. If we are already hungering and thirsting after righteousness, how do we seek after righteousness? Well, let's take these two illustrations about seeking, about being able to concentrate or focus on something so much that when we lay our head down on the pillow at night, we see it. Or, let's use the other illustration. Are there things that keep us from seeing the truth? Has our mind been programmed in such a way, or has little understanding of something that it does not allow for that to happen? Well, I'm going to give you three suggestions on how you can begin seeking righteousness. And I believe that many of us are already doing these things. Go to the first Psalm. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. That's got to be good stuff. Blessed is the man that does what? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. You're in Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 119. Let's begin reading at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Oh, do you love God's Word? Do you love it so much that when you lay your head on that pillow at night, it floods into your mind? You search after it so much during the day? Point number one, the thing that we can do is what? We can have daily devotional Bible readings, time in private or with family. A systematic approach to prayerful Bible reading. We'll do what? Well, it'll bring you closer to God. We'll gradually increase your understanding of the Word of God. We'll offer you strength and comfort and hope. The question is, and the concept's easy, the question is, will we do it? Will we make it so much that, again, like the mushrooms, that we will concentrate, focus on it, discern as we're reading it in such a way that it impacts us at all times. So Bible study is one way. You have to ask yourself, are you willing to seek righteousness through Bible study? Are you willing to study? Are you willing to put the time in? Spend time in training? Second, let's take that Bible study and let's study it with others. Let's go to Hebrews 3. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now look at this verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. How much exhorting have you guys done today? Have you got your exhorting in for today? What is exhorting? Well, it's to urge strongly. It's to suggest strongly. Have you exhorted today? Let's go to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of others, ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much so, and so much the more, as we see the day approaching. Let's go back to our mushroom example. You ever find a mushroom in the woods? And you announce that you've found a mushroom in the woods to the other people that are in your party? What do you notice? Do they have that mushroom creep going? You found one over here, they start kind of looking in your kind of area, and then all of a sudden they're right over here with you, trying to find that other mushroom, because we all know that where there's one, there is another. May I ask you this, in seeking righteousness, do you announce it? Not that you have found it, but that you are at least searching for it? And do you bring others, and are others eager to come with you to find it? Churches often provide the opportunity for Christians to study together. We did so this morning. We had a booklet that we follow along with, the study of John right now. Our little ones are in classes doing that same thing. Can I ask you a simple question? Think back. Where did you learn what an F looked like? A couple places. Maybe at home before you went to school, or in school. Think then of the power of training. If you don't spend time in training, in Bible study, you're not going to be able to see the F's. Third point. Last point. Deuteronomy 6. Beginning in verse 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Beginning in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And here is the third point. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Third point, we could spend time in Bible study. We can spend time reading our Bible. But are we going to help our children and our grandchildren and our youth seek righteousness? Ephesians 6:4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Parents, are you up to that challenge of helping your children or your grandchildren seek and find righteousness? I love the building after services are over. There's a flood of activity with our young people all over this building. Some, my son included, may be a little bit more rambunctious than others. But I love that flood of activity. Let me ask you this. I'm going to tell you a story. Story of a young man named Eldrick. Eldrick is a great example of this. Not in a spiritual sense, but provides a great example for us. Eldrick was provided with a great deal of instruction as a young toddler. His father was with him all the time. Spent hours teaching and helping young Eldrick. So much so that Eldrick considered him the most influential person in his life. They were so close. Do your children and grandchildren think of you as a role model because young Eldrick thought of his dad as a role model? Eldrick provided him with every opportunity to develop and become the man that he is today. And that's Tiger Woods. Eldrick is Tiger Woods. You don't have to play golf to know his name. His father placed a golf club in his hands when he was 3. Why do I use that example? What are you placing in the hands of your children? I'm not recommending that you go out and buy a set of golf clubs by any means. But are you providing one an example of righteousness in your home? Are you helping them seek after righteousness? What impact are you having as a parent, as a grandparent? Are you creating not a golf champion, but are you creating a spiritual champion? I guess what I'm challenging myself to do and what I'm challenging this group to do is let's consider righteousness. Let's consider our ways. 5 times in the book of Haggai, God says, consider your ways. Now, Haggai, I think, was concerned with building a temple. However, this can apply to our time here this morning. The command to consider your ways, to seek and find righteousness. It can be easy to understand, difficult to do, especially when others are saying this about authority, rather than asking what is the truth of the matter and seeking righteousness. We rather ask, how do you feel about that? What's your feeling about that? But God, He's asking you in seeking righteousness to exercise your minds, to reason, to analyze, to interpret in private Bible study, in assembling with others, and in our homes with our children and our grandchildren. We'll conclude with this thought. We'll conclude with this thought. This morning, as you walk out this door, if you're thinking about mushrooms, then I failed. If you are thinking about that little piece of paper that has all the F's on it, then I failed. So I think that's a great way to start a Bible study, by the way. But if you're thinking about Tiger Woods, then I've probably failed. But if you walk out this morning thinking about how you are currently seeking righteousness, in ways in which you might better seek righteousness, then I think our time this morning here was profitable. As I conclude the lesson, I ask you to consider this. It's found in Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Verse 4. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. We're going to offer the Lord's invitation. An opportunity for you to come to or into the kingdom of the Lord. We stand prepared to help you in any way that we possibly can. Won't you please come while we sing that invitation song.